Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is March 3rd. Yeah, 3rd. It's Happy De La Soul Day.
Finally.
To everybody. Their stuff was finally on all streaming platforms. They had a massive event last night at Webster Hall. I watched some of it on Twitch, and then I watched the rest of it on people's people's reels and people's just posts and stuff, and it looked like it was amazing. Everybody came out, everybody was there. I haven't seen a New York party at that level in years, probably. Everybody came out.
Did you have a little FOMO, Jeff? Because you felt like if you were still in New York.
Yeah, I did. I did, because it was so
sudden list. That's something you would have been at.
Oh yeah, because there was so many people there that I hadn't seen in so long. You know, just to be able to see people and say hi, and because I was telling my friend Kia, like, barring some horrific, incident, which I definitely want to put in the universe, I don't know if you'll ever get all those people in a room again.
Right, and I also wonder if. Everybody wanted to come out and celebrate De La, obviously, but it also kind of served as a memorial for Dave.
Yeah, it was both. It was supposed to be a De La, by his streaming platforms. And then with Dave's passing, it ended up being a combination of De La, hitting streaming platforms, and like I said, a memorial for Dave too, who was, well-liked, great guy. So all the people I was seeing, I'm sure there's a lot of people I didn't see or haven't seen yet, but some of the posts, I was like, oh shit, they was there. Damn. So, it looked like it was a great, great time had by everybody. Looked like it was a great time. And I've been listening to De La Soul Is Dead today, because I haven't heard these albums in years because they haven't been up.
Yeah, right.
That's my favorite De La album, actually. But also just shocked me, I guess, because I haven't heard them so long, just thinking how much they sampled. That was just the era.
Well,
of the
time.
Well,
that was the fight, so right? That was the whole fight, was to try to, for Tommy Boy to try to get it to a place where they could clear all that shit, and De La still, have the financial terms worked out in a way that was favorable for them.
Yeah, but they weren't getting killed, because they said, and they sampling, big records, it's not like obscure shit. They are sampling known stuff,
probably paying a grip more for it on this end than they would have had it been cleared at the moment.
Yeah. So yeah. I just wanted to say that. And Nye, this one is for you. It's Method Man's birthday.
Actually, his birthday was yesterday.
Okay, excuse me. Sorry. Talking about your boo.
This nigga like Florence Johnston and Billy D. Williams.
Marlon Jackson's birthday coming up, by the way.
His birthday was yesterday. But actually, I want to say somebody's birthday actually is today. Is it Belafonte? I think Harry Belafonte's birthday might be today.
It's just interesting to see how, Meth.
It's Dennis Edwards' birthday, Jeffrey.
I'm going on the glory.
Yep.
Meth, Latifah, some others I'm kind of blanking. I don't have having these crazy second and even third level careers. Like Meth is still crazy nice on the mic now, but he's known, more for the younger generation, more for acting than. Yeah. Than that, and then he's become this sex symbol and all this, and obviously Latifah's done.
Well, Latifah's been on the acting side more than the rap side for so long now.
You almost forget.
Kind of gotten to a point. I remember there was a point in Will Smith's career where, matter of fact, when Will Smith did the Men in Black album, I remember I actually said out loud, I was like, "Will Smith trying to rap now?" And I caught myself like, "Oh shit, wait."
He is a rapper,
That's a fresh friend. You know what I'm saying? But we were there already where I was like,
yeah, because it's been so long.
Associated
So I think Latifah's been at that point. I think Ice has been at that point. I think LL's been at that point.
LL too.
So now Meth is in that space.
Going that way. Go ahead, bro.
No, I was going to say, I think L might be the only one who's at the breaking point of the secondary career being as long and as prosperous right. as that first. First career. Yeah. Because when we really think about Latifah and we really think about Will, their runs are really short. Mm-hmm. They're big, but their run is really maybe 6 years, 7 years. Six, 7 years. Now that 6, 7 years meant a lot.
But LL put in time.
Yeah, LL did. You know, you go radio to "I'm Gonna Love You Better," which I think is fair it's like 20 years. And then he goes into NCIS and then all of the movies.
Yeah, the movies and all that. Yeah, the TV show. Maybe he had the TV show too.
In the house.
Which is on HBO Max.
I need to watch today.
Go check it out.
God bless Maia Campbell. She was gorgeous. Anyway, it was interesting to see Meth last night.
I'm sorry to cut you off,
Jeffrey. I was just to follow up on what you said. I'm enjoying seeing Meth lean into this chapter.
Yeah, he's taking it serious.
He turned 50 last year. It's like he really seems to be enjoying it. And Meth has always been a good actor. Like, he's always been a standout in whatever he's part of. So I enjoy seeing him leaning into this a lot.
Yeah. I was going to say this real quick. When Latifah, last night she performed with Moni Love, they did Ladies First. I don't remember them ever actually performing that record. I mean, the video was big and the song was big, but I don't know if I've actually seen them.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen them before. Well, now I need to find that clip. I don't know if I've seen them before.
So people were going ham, because again, it's almost like, oh shit, we forgot Latifah raps.
I was about to say, La and Light. And I'll say, L, remind me of the same thing. You put a mic in their hand.
Oh, yeah.
They're going. They ain't lost.
They revert. Yep. They revert they back to MC.
Yeah.
So, you know, peace to all of them. And, you know, like I said, I do have a little FOMO from last night. I'm going to mention the NAACP Awards, which came on last weekend. Very well-attended event. Method Man was there.
Looking amazing, him and Damon Idris. Damson Idris.
Okay,
also looking gorgeous,
looking amazing.
You know, I'm the black man. Shit, Damon, a boy named Damon, right? it's a very well attended event. It has been for years now. I want to say the
50th anniversary when they started doing it at the Kodak Theater. Because the NAACP Image Awards, you see it be at some random municipal auditorium.
Way up. I remember. It was outside of LA. I remember.
Once they moved it to LA proper, to the Kodak, that's when people started stepping up. So I'm glad they did that.
And it's on CBS and it's prime time on Saturday. It was a Saturday or Sunday night.
I think it was on Sunday.
One of the night, but it's prime time, 8 o'clock. You know, everybody's there, and everybody's suiting and booting, and everybody seems to, who goes really seems to enjoy it, and I enjoy watching it because it's for us. It's for our people, our actors, our artists, our singers, educators. It's a little bit everybody's in the building, and I really enjoy it.
What really drove that home about like how important it is to have our own things, our own broadcast, was the In Memoriam segment.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the amount of people that would not have been shown any love on any other show if not for us. Like it was, you know, legit some people that were not honored at the Grammys that had stuff to do with music. So
I've been very happy to see in the last several years how the Image Awards and the Soul Train Awards have been restored to award shows of importance. Mm-hmm. Both of them were kind of cast to the wayside. It was like the BET Awards was the only Black award show that anybody was acknowledging, and including talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy to see that we now recognize the importance of having an array of award shows to celebrate, you know, the various areas in which we excel. And that talent is also recognizing the importance of showing up to this shit.
Like, yeah. You know, especially because the BET Awards, since Steven left the BET Awards, it's become, again, I hate to sound like the old nigga, but it's become more hip-hoppy, you know? And Steven
Hill. It's very much felt heavily like the Hip-Hop Awards.
Yeah, Steven Hill for, you know, and he, you know, can like going
to say. No shots to Jesse Collins.
No shots to Jesse at all. No shots to anybody who does this stuff. But I'm saying Steven was a master at creating moments, whether it was Michael Jackson coming out with James Brown, Rick James and Tina Marie, you know, so on and so on and so on. And those moments, to me, at the BET Awards becoming more and more fleeting as time goes on.
You know, I remember
Justin Timberlake came out and they did the whole thing with Charlie Wilson and Pharrell. It was just so many.
In fairness, they're
Nipsey slapping a nigga.
Those moments aren't for us. Some 19-year-old kid is probably going to think about the time that, you know, Lil Yachty and Lil Pistol Starter, they song, you know.
Well, they're going to think about Post Malone bringing out Brandy. And they're going to think about
Jack Harlow.
The other white boy with the curly hair, bringing out Brandy. They'll think about that, you know. Yeah.
But that was a good moment, actually.
I do want to just add two things I want to say is that I want that energy for the NAACP Awards to remain intact if the show is not on CBS. What happens here is that CBS is obviously a Paramount property, and you are going to have people with significant power calling in folks. Mm-hmm. You're going to have tier one press available and ready. And so red carpets matter a little bit differently when it's that level of production. And I want us to not just go for the look, but to go for the substance and to go for the, you know, for some level of fellowship, you know what I'm saying? And two, I would just like to say, Soul Train, God bless them. They got to get the fuck out of Vegas. Okay, they got to get the fuck out of Vegas.
Vegas is killing them
ASAP.
Yeah, Vegas is killing them. Vegas is killing them.
And it's not even. And it's not even. You know, again, this is obviously no shots to production because I know what production means, right? Like you're given this thing and you have to work within it. So I totally understand that. But that venue and hotel, that all I'm going to say is y'all got to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. Like, also they lose people because some people don't want to travel on Thanksgiving weekend to Las Vegas. You know what I'm saying? They want to be, you know, if it was in LA where people live, then they might.
It's a pre-tape now. So
I'm it is a pre-tape. That's right.
It's a pre-tape.
But still, it's like if you was in LA, then people would, you know, go because it's an hour ride over, instead of getting on a plane and a hotel. Right?
It's hard. It is like we've talked about this before, so I won't belabor the point. But it is going to be more expensive and more difficult to get talent, especially just attending talent, not just performing talent, but talent in the seats. Which is where Soul Train has been struggling the past couple of years. If you're not having it in a major city.
Yeah. It's like you got to travel. You got to get a hotel.
Man, take your ass down to Atlanta and quit bullshit.
Yeah, start playing around. You know where the people are. You know?
There's 87 venues.
Exactly. I wanted to mention my bruh's favorite, Chaka Khan. Raining on the people, letting the people know. But you know what's interesting between Shaka this week and Diana Ross?
No, Stephanie last week.
Yeah, but I'm saying Diana Ross, Beyonce, the kind of thing. Last week, it's like, you know, and again, it's going to sound like old again, but I just wish some of these younger people would really know and understand the status of a Diana Ross and now the Chaka Khan. First of all, the whole thing with Chaka Khan and Mary, she's saying Mary sung her sweet thing flat. She said she told Mary that herself. She said, I told her you sung it flat. Like, the fuck? Like, what are you doing? What time did you sing? And, and Mary said, well, we sung at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And Shaka was like, you should never sing anything 8 o'clock in the morning. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
But the other thing is, like, it's Shaka. Like, this is what I don't understand. People, like, we have artists, and motherfuckers act like Aretha was the shadiest bitch on the planet, right?
Yep.
We have these singers who have notoriously, it's not been fan armies like it used to be, but it has not always been love between singers. Whitney, Shay, Janet, you know, Mariah done caught flack from a lot of the greats, not necessarily because of her talent, but for other various reasons, her relationship with Tommy, whatever. Like, it's not always been all love between the divas. And part of that is because they had to scrap to carve their place out. But also, Shaka is fucking crazy. Like, it's Shaka. I don't know why anybody is shocked, appalled, or pearl-clutching at anything Shaka got to say. And Stephanie threw shots at Anita last week.
That was wild. That was the Anita Baker
thing. That surprised me a little bit, but I'm guessing that Anita probably threw some shade.
Probably.
Stephanie's way back in the day, so, because Stephanie was kind of pushed aside. Like, you know, she was a quiet
Anita and Luther hated each other too.
Well, Luther hated everybody on the very low.
Yeah, Luther didn't fuck with nobody. Except
he didn't fuck with nobody who came behind him.
Yeah,
and
so. But I feel like he worked with everybody.
He worked with a lot of people.
Fucked with him.
Yeah. Luther kicked in Vogue off his tour. Yep. He loved you.
But where is the book? This is the documentary that we need.
That nigga was a live wire boy. but I do want to say
very spicy.
So Stephanie Mills, you know, makes this comment or whatever, right? And like people are like so shocked, and like, and I'm just like, guys, this is a 65-year-old woman.
She ain't got no fucks.
Like, and she's a 65-year-old woman, right? So, like, let's put that in perspective, okay? When she's 10 years old, the Supremes are fucking it.
Mm-hmm.
They are it, my nigga. Like, they are it. They are everything to a young girl. And so, yes, what she was saying was not necessarily untrue. And what she means...
The one thing that surprised me about it is that Diana jacked her spot for the Wiz movie. So I expected some Diana shade. That's the only thing that surprised
me. Well, you know, Barry Gordy was like, look, we got to put some asses in the seats.
Yeah, Stephanie Mills wasn't throwing nothing to the table.
And for the record, they took an absolute fucking bath on that movie in real time.
It is regarded now as a classic, but it was not received well at all.
And it was very expensive.
Yes. And the last thing I'll say is that, you know, and I tweeted this, like, Shaka, like, you guys talking about her... And like, if you think that that's going to change,
I don't
any fucks that she like that is one of the most I said what the fuck I said people you're ever going to run into, my nigga.
Yeah.
And yes, and like I said, was she allegedly not, you know,
completely
on the straight and narrow? Right? Like completely allegedly, right?
But she still meant that shit. I'm positive. See,
I was gonna say the only thing that would have changed with what she said was maybe a few words.
Right.
Maybe a few words. Maybe, nigga. Like right. She wasn't gonna fold, and she wouldn't fold. She would tell any of them how she felt, and she feels the way she feels, and she is the way she is. And guess what? It's the same way with these star athletes, right? Like you fucking think. That Michael, like I said before, Michael Jordan will take these niggas on the court today.
Right.
Michael Jordan is a stone cold sociopath.
Right.
Like, anybody listening to Kenny Lattimore to get hyped for a playoff game is not well.
I mean, the thing about the elders, and I understand when younger adults say that the elders still owe them a level of respect and can't be disrespectful, but the thing is that they're not just out of pocket being disrespectful. People are asking them questions and they're answering them honestly, but especially if you are an elder black person in entertainment, y'all have no idea the dues these motherfuckers paid. They have earned the right, frankly, in my opinion, to say whatever the fuck they feel like saying. Stephanie been on some, I'ma keep it 100 shit for like the past 3 years. Like she been giving you real
Stephanie, Stephanie has had some views that I felt a little cringeworthy with, right? And that is, again, but guess what? Like, there's several 65-year-old Black women that have had views that I've been very cringy with.
True.
Right? Like, that, like nothing. Nothing they are doing, nothing that those women are doing or are saying is out of character. Right. All of that shit is who they have been for years. It's right. Who they're going to stand in, and none of that shit is going to change. So you can do your thread, you can do your Twitter threads, you can do all your IG posts, you can do your reels. I can assure you, my nigga, if someone asks her tomorrow, she's saying the same shit.
The same shit. And also, at this point, they don't, it's not damaging their career one way or the other. And they just don't fucking, like you said, they don't care. But also because they're not trying to stop nobody else's bread.
No.
And it's not stopping any bread they're getting. They're just expressing their opinion.
And that's thing about Shaka.
Shaka was right. She was right.
Right.
I'm sorry.
And like, so was, she might have and so was Stephanie. Wildly, and so was Stephanie.
But like, she was supposed to be higher on that list, especially of the people, like, come on, Mary J. Blige, higher on the list?
No, because Mary is a child. Mary is a child of Shaka. There's no way she should be on a list higher than Shaka. But like, and even going back to Stephanie.
I'm
going to
just say this. I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm going to say this, and I'm going to end mine. Them niggas have Bobby Blue Bland at 163. And when I find the motherfucker that thought that there was 162 motherfuckers that sung better than Bobby Blue Bland,
right.
Oh, we're going to have a misunderstanding.
I mean, but also, it's rolling. Like, we also, Black people got to stop tripping over these Rolling Stone lists because they're
because they do this on purpose. They do this to make
they're wrong every time.
It's always horrible to us. Like, the people who make Rolling Stone lists believe that Patti LaBelle oversings. Patti might oversing to you, but she still be singing. Like,
Patti LaBelle sings exactly the way she is supposed to sing. That's how she got to where she is at this point.
There's a whole bunch of motherfuckers that can't sing the way Patti sings.
I would absolutely see Patti in concert right now. I could trade my tickets, my Renaissance tickets, for some Patti tickets, I'd do it.
And she's gonna kill it.
They got the first three right, and they got the first three right. That fucking list was downhill after that.
Right.
Aretha, Whitney, and Sam. After that,
yeah,
I don't know what the fuck they was thinking.
Right.
My thing with Shaka also is that, and artists like that is like, look, because she's from the Shy, she was a Black Panther, she plays drums, she can obviously sing, like she's an iconic artist, like you can't question her. She's won Grammys with Rufus, she won Grammys with Solo.
You can't judge her ability based on where she is at this point.
No.
Shaka is where the good weed is, and I don't think that it matters specifically what genre.
Where the good something
you got
is.
The good. If she's on Tom Petty's tour bus, if asked, I'm 1,000%.
And Willie Nelson,
and the last, and also too, I think that there is such an abundance of content that what we're seeing now is like, you know, artists are very. Like, I promise you, these artists are talking about this shit to themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
They're just not saying this in interviews. And I think that as we start to see this generation of artists get older, we're going to see the same shit. When they are 20 and 30 and 40 years deep into a career, and they're going to be saying the same thing about somebody else coming up. And listen, I don't think that there's any... I like what I like. Ain't no motherfucker going to make me feel about the shit that like.
We're very clear on this, Sean.
like yes, nigga. Like, I'm going to see the Blind Boys of Alabama, and that's what I want to go see. And
Bobby's non-singing ass.
And they're gonna kill it.
We'll go see New Edition. This is correct. Yeah,
and they're gonna kill it. You know. So yeah, I mean, I just wish some of the younger heads would just at least do a little research before you just jump on Twitter. I know they won't, because everybody wants to be
so
first.
Black and white and absolute.
And everybody wants to be first.
And the problem is that they put everything that they hear in the context of where they came into the story, right? It's like the people who say that Suge Knight they don't understand why everybody was scared of Suge Knight and think we'd be exaggerating. Because nigga, Suge Knight is in jail and old and got the sugar and
he's not the guy that he was in 1990.
Yeah, you ain't see Suge moving in real time in 1993. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like if you're not, you can't. They're making comments based on present day in an artist's career instead of, or an actor's career or whomever's, instead of looking at a body of work. And it's frustrating to observe. But I think the other problem is that we ain't even supposed to be privy to the opinions of these little kids. We just are because of the internet. We're not even supposed to hear these conversations. This is supposed to be some stupid shit that they talk about amongst other people who don't know shit either. And it's the fact that we are hearing and seeing all of their opinions without any age gating, you know, and it's riling us up. We're not even supposed to know they think.
I also think that while I do think that is true, I also think that that's not necessarily, like, for me. Like, I did not need to see James Brown in a juke joint to know he was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like there was no doubt in my mind when I heard Sam Cooke sing that, oh my God, he's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
They can do the basic shit. But the thing is like in most cases, everything from your youth, everything between that 15 to 20 year old period of your life, is like the best thing ever. And it's why when you hear certain age groups talk about rap, it's like that, it's like it's almost like rap didn't start until fucking 1996. Yeah. Or you know what I'm saying? It's like
nobody
before that counts, or all of those sorts of things. So while I think that
Sean froze.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, he froze up. So we'll catch him when he comes back in. Also, did y'all watch?
Y'all know what he meant, though.
Yeah, y'all know what he meant. Did y'all watch Harlem? Did y'all watch the whole season?
I haven't watched.
I did.
What'd you think?
It was good enough to keep me around for season 3. I hate a cliffhanger like that. It just felt very like last minute, like let's add this on, play in with the rest of the storylines all season. But I thought it was great. I love the character arcs. People are growing.
I still don't like.
I'm gonna walk away and get some juice while y'all talk about this, because I ain't watched it yet.
I wasn't gonna give any spoilers, but yeah,
I don't like. I still don't like the dark skinned girl.
Sean put his thumbs down.
I don't like the dark skinned girl. What's her name on the show? Whatever. I don't like her character at all. Because she's she's not.
They made her super thirsty, and she's just not like each
of the other characters, whether it worked or not. They've tried this season to make them give them like a real kind of side, you know.
Yeah.
The light skinned girl obviously going through the thing when she, you know, but is she bisexual or not? And you know, her depression. And her mother, obviously making good, you know, breaking up with the one boyfriend, getting with another boy, you know, and all that. I didn't like
Camille's storyline this time. It just felt, I know she's supposed to be like the carry of the group, but it felt really self-sabotaging and kind of, it really did.
It was like, why did you drag old boy through all this and get back with him only just to tell him that you don't want to have kids? Like, what was the point? You should have just left him alone. And even the lesbian character, you know, with her with the money and blah, blah, blah. I think she's the one that's PG, actually. I think it's her. I think she got PG with the one with the old husband.
Do you think?
This is my theory.
She didn't have sex with him, though.
Didn't they hugged and all that shit one time when he came to the crib? But anyway,
I low-key don't care who's pregnant. It'll make for a good season 3. But again, shout out to Miss Bevy, who was on the show. She did a good job.
Yeah, she did.
She's hilarious. If you're not listening to her Bevelation show, I crack up every single day that she called a white woman a potato.
Yeah, you told me.
Calling her out. I almost had to like pull over. I was cracking up. Yeah, it was so funny.
So but I just hated the way cool. that I hated the, the, the dark skinned girl's character. Like she's the only one dated. There was a episode where she went home. I don't know if she lived in Long Island or Staten Island, but she went home. There was a cookout. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was okay, we'll get some, maybe we'll get her being, I don't know, normal is the right term, but just the other side of her here. But she was this goofy there too. And so was Sherry Shepherd, who played her mother. It was this, I was like, yo, when is she ever regular?
The little parts with them individually, like I wanted more of that versus them together as a friend group. If that makes sense. Like I want more stories about the characters outside of each other.
Separate of each other.
Yeah, that's where I think the gold of the show is. I thought it was good. Like everything doesn't have to be 5 stars.
No, 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 of course not. Of course not.
It was a good watch. It was fun. The fashion was cute.
The fashion's good.
I started I'm kind of glad that maybe Ian won't be on next season. I don't think he added much to the show.
No, he's gone. He's gone. He's definitely out.
Yeah. But anyway,
I started watching Woman King.
Woman King was so good.
I'm up to the point where the young girl is entertaining the guy.
And that's the dude.
Yeah, and that's irking me. But I'm going to push through because it's like, here we go. I'm going to watch it.
The climax to that movie is so well done.
Okay.
And it's, I was not expecting this to be that good, but it was really incredible. Amazing performances. Lives up to the hype. Okay. I should have seen it in theaters.
I'm gonna finish it. I'm gonna support Violet. So I'm gonna finish it anyway. And
wait, what y'all talking about?
Woman King.
Oh, I still have to watch it.
Yeah, and yeah, I finally, make some time.
Excellent.
I finally watched Wakanda about a week ago.
It was mad sad, right?
Yeah, I didn't cry or nothing, but it was definitely mad sad. I like the name. You know what's interesting? What they do with
so I'm laughing at you.
What's interesting? What they do with the with both of these movies so far is the antagonistic character. They write it so he has points.
Either way, yeah.
Yeah, he has points. Yeah. Like it was like that with Killmonger, and now it's like that with Namor too. Like he had a point for what he was doing. Yeah, so it's not just like yo, he's just evil. We got to kill him. Even what's the call him? Thanos with the snap. It's like, well, was he really wrong that half these niggas need to be gone? I don't know. So
right. I'm kind of nervous for the next phase of the MCU because they are losing me.
Really? Why?
Because it's taking so long to build?
I kind of like when they're on Earth and doing like Earth things. Like, I don't think I'm going to go see Quantumania because I literally don't care about this microscopic world.
It said Ant-Man joint is mediocre.
Really? I love Ant-Man, but I keep hearing it's not good. Like, especially Jonathan Majors' performance is incredible. Especially because it was
introducing Jonathan Majors. I'm disappointed.
He'll be around for phase 4 of MCU, right. But they're saying he's, like, too good to be in this phase because everything, like, our new heroes from this point are, like, growing up into their power.
Well, that's what I was going to say. This is, like, a bridge phase because what Marvel has had to do is this is like the phase in which they took the lesser known and bargain bin titles right and revived them, whereas phase 1 was all the majors, and they're trying not to just give us the also ran. So I do feel like this phase is like a bridge builder. We're getting all these new characters and origin stories, and Even the main movies, like the Doctor Strange movies and stuff like that, are still really more about introducing something new. So I trust Marvel. So I'm going to try to stick with it, even though I think they also might have stretched themselves out a little bit by ping-ponging between television content. And
there's a lot more television content coming too.
Yeah, it's a lot to ask of people. And honestly, the television content has been better. Like, Loki was incredible.
Loki was dope.
Which is where we first met the Jonathan Majors character. WandaVision was great. And Falcon and Winter Soldier was great.
And What If?
Yeah, What If was great. So I'm sticking with, like, I still haven't watched The Eternals because it just didn't feel like it had anything to do with it.
I heard that shit was trash.
Which is the same reason I don't really fuck with Captain Marvel. I'm just like, eh. Because she's not really necessary.
they're just moving to the next phase. So when Marvel started, I don't think anyone expected Iron Man to be the runaway hit that it was.
They did not.
Expecting like smaller, you know, movies. Right. No, I don't think Chris, whichever Chris it is, who signed up to be Thor, expected to do this for 15 years.
Chris thought he could do it for like three years.
Yeah. So Captain America moving on and passing away, whatever. Like, we have to start a whole new phase. So it's going to be bumpy. Like,
people want to do other shit.
Guardians of the Galaxy was not good.
Yeah.
But we had to introduce these characters. So I think we get a few more like mediocre movies.
I actually like Guardians because it was campy. Just like it took me a minute to get pulled into Ant-Man, but I got there. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just not. Yeah,
the first Guardians are like the second one. And I know there's a third. There's a third and final coming out.
The third, I think, is with them and Thor.
Yeah, or at least Chris, I like Chris Pratt checked out.
Like, even I fell asleep on Ragnarok because I was like, "Where are we?
Yeah, that wasn't
and what's going on." But I like, you know, I'm a Spider-Man girl. I'm a Captain America girl. Like, keep me around here where I can.
Ragnarok felt like it was just to close out the Natalie Portman story, and like that's it.
Yeah, but then she came back.
Well, true.
To the last movie, which I liked, but everybody else thought was trash.
I'm sorry, that's what I meant. The last Thor, not Ragnarok. Oh, I liked Ragnarok. But the Ragnarok was the last movie.
Yeah, yeah. But the last Thor movie was all over the place.
It was too comedic.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly cohesive.
But I believe in Kevin Feige.
DC is also trying to do their Marvel shit now and start actually getting their material out properly. So that'll be interesting to watch. But I also think, isn't Marvel about to bring X-Men into the universe?
I think this just might be the era of the villain. Like, where we're rooting for them.
Yeah.
I'm with it. Shout out to John Majors. I want to see Creed 3 soon. Can't wait.
I heard the reviews of people online were talking about it's great. Creed 3 is great.
I'm excited.
Speaking of that, let's talk about Michael B. Jordan. So
Michael B. Jordan, who just got his star on the Walk of Fame.
Yep, got his star on the Walk of Fame and doing a gang of press for the Creed movie.
Even with that, I feel like Jonathan's been doing more press than Michael almost, or maybe it's just.
I think this is what you see, because Michael's doing more press.
He's doing a lot of shit.
Are getting highlighted are Jonathan.
Yeah, so he had an incident. Well, an incident might be strong, but. A moment. L'Oreal, who's a podcaster and this kind of phasing
radio
into
host.
Radio host. Real quick, before I forget, I just wanted to mention when we talk about the NAACP Awards, I'm happy that because of the NAACP Awards, the Black press leads the red carpet for the NAACP Awards because so many times Black press gets pushed to the side. And they rush the artist by. We can't stop. Whereas with the NAACP Awards, they're in the front. So I love that. But anyway, so she was doing a press junket and she ran up Michael B. Jordan. I guess they went to high school together for a year or so in Newark. And she's kind of said in her podcast over the past couple of years that, we always looked at him as the corny kid. He was always like the corny kid. He would bring his headshots to school and we'd be joking on them. So
just real quick, I want to let the listeners know that Naima's eating ham as we're taping this. Like,
okay,
full
so first
slices
of, all,
of ham.
First of all, y'all do know I love ham. I've made
black as shit.
Secondly,
1:30 in the afternoon.
It's Lent and I'm off carbs. So all I'm really eating is protein and vegetables. So I just need it.
You need something.
Like, so I grab some ham. Yeah.
Okay.
So L'Oreal
brought me joy.
So L'Oreal ran up on him on the red carpet and she's like, "Oh, Michael B. Jordan." He's like, "Superman. He's doing so many things." And Michael says, "Yeah,
I'm no, she says, "We go way back."
She's like, "You know, we go way back.
To so and so school, whatever school they went to together." And he says, "Oh, yeah, the corny kid, right?" And she's like, "What? I didn't ever say that." He's like, "No, I heard you. I heard you
he
say
said
that
I was
before.
Misquoted.
I've heard her say that. It's not, you weren't misquoted. And what I didn't like is mad people going at Michael B. Jordan. I was like, how are you niggas raised? Like, what the fuck? Like, she's been going at this nigga nonstop. Like, he doesn't say anything about her. Then when he sees her face to face, He just brought it up. He didn't curse her out. He didn't go crazy.
People said
he just
brought it up. He was holding on.
He wasn't holding on, but she's been saying this for a long time. What is he supposed to do?
If she had just rolled up professionally and been like, hey, Michael B. Jordan, director and star of Creed 3, I want to ask you some questions. But no, she had to like,
it was a
little bit
back.
Of a clout chase in there. Like, yes. we go way back. Like, I know you. So for him to react and be like, oh, you know me?
You know me
I
now?
Think was the correct reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it was absolutely the correct reaction. What do you think, bro? Bro, look how you're looking at it funny.
I think he would have left it alone if she hadn't mentioned it.
Okay. So we all know what corny means. Like, it's just fascinating to me now that everybody is pretending like we don't know what corny means.
Like, and like corny is good.
Yeah, or like the other extreme is that you want a fucking mass murderer, dope dealer, right? Like, you know, like, okay.
But you know what's wild? I still see, not hold your thought, I still see girls and women online saying the same shit, like, I want a nigga who's like a thug, but he's also a corporate nigga. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
People like, we like corny. What they say? What you call it? Barack Obama was corny, and such was corny, naming corny, or who's Ciara's husband? Russell Wilson's corny. We like corny. Corny is good, but you
Russell
know good
Wilson
and well.
Would punch a hole through your
if
ass.
You say
Ciara, and that's the kind of man we're all looking
but,
for.
But we all know that if you say, to Sean's point, in high school we looked at him as corny. Mm-hmm. You know what? Like,
you know what
Sean
that
said,
means.
You know what that meant. Mm-hmm. You thought he was a little clownish, a little bit of an L7.
But I'm saying for her to keep saying it now. It's like, come on, bro. Like, the thing is, you're like 30-something. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, in fairness, nothing that she has put out has been like, oh, that's absolutely
like,
correct.
We
and
know,
I'm looking
like,
to follow her podcast. You know, like, ain't nobody listening to that.
And, second.
Sorry.
Hold on a second. She also, like, on top.
Damn it, Sean.
Damn.
I don't know what's going on with his connection.
Damn.
Sean. He's in the car.
That's my fault. I talked over it.
He'll
so
come
sorry.
Back. Sean will
he'll
be
come,
back.
He'll come back, and when he comes back, I definitely want to finish his point. But I just, even if he held on to it, go ahead, bro. You back? Okay, go. You good now? Go.
I done lost my train of thought, man.
You were talking about her calling him corny, and
we don't know what corny means.
Yeah, I totally.
Did you agree with what he did or no?
Yeah, I was fine with what he did.
Damn.
Yeah, you might gotta move, Sean.
Yeah, I don't know. Sean's having technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all reach your
three
hands.
Of us are.
Y'all all reach right. your hands towards your listening devices.
No. I just had no problem.
Started this podcast with prayer because
I just had no problem with what Michael did. I just again he didn't wild out because he didn't wild out. He wasn't.
Yikes! Nobody with common sense has an issue.
Agree. It's not something that I would have necessarily done.
Okay,
I don't know what the fuck is happening. I did.
Damn.
It's not funny. I'm sorry.
It's like a good point, too.
It does.
Like, every time he get going, all right, let's move on. He tapped out. He's going to try to come back
in. Yeah. So, I mean, again, I didn't have a problem with what he did. Again, you know, he wasn't aggressive. He didn't wild out. He just said, yo, I'm a corny kid, right? And to me, what showed was like her bullying energy, like with all bullies, as soon as he just said something, she backtracked. Oh, I was a cat. I never said that. I was kidding. Yo, stand on your shit then. If you were calling him corny in school, then stand on that. You know, don't fucking back down now because you've seen a man face to face. Like, stand on it, you know, or just say, hey, you know, I was tripping on that. I apologize. I I'm proud of what you've accomplished. And then keep it pushing. But I just didn't like what she did. You know, this isn't a woman bashing thing or anything like that. I just didn't like the way she carried it, you know.
That's corny.
That's corny. Exactly. That was corny. I'm gonna hold this next topic before I get back. I know you want to talk about that. What you want to talk about, the Murdaugh case?
Have we talked about it on here yet?
No, really.
And I'm not following it at all. I'm like,
it's over now.
Well, here's
it's
the thing about the Murdaugh case. The trial is over, but what's interesting is that this case, the coverage on this case is coming wave. So I remember when it first was a news story.
Mm-hmm.
Then the documentary hit Netflix late last year.
No, was the first documentary Netflix, or the first documentary I think was HBO Max.
I was going to say, is that Showtime or HBO Max?
Yeah, it's a different one. Yep.
Oh.
Netflix is more current. And then there was a 48 Hours on
the Hulu joint,
and it kept building and building and building.
I ain't watched none of it.
Yeah, I watched all of it. So then
I need to watch some of them. But, you know, it happened in South Carolina, so I was halfway following the story. But the whole shit is just...
How far is that county from where you grew up?
It's pretty far. It's low country. It's closer. It's coastal. And I grew up in the
Okay.
So it's the other end of the state. It's coastal. But, you know... The interesting thing about small towns, I always say small towns are the scandals of small towns are way more nefarious than anything that ever happens in the big city. That you have one family who has essentially controlled the entire, you know, law and order, law enforcement,
for generations,
system for generations.
Yeah, and these are elected positions.
You can't just
on both sides because they're lawyers. Down. They control the police.
That's what I'm saying. How are you lawyers and your prosecutors? Like, how does that? You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck? So it's crazy.
But basically, they've carried on to the tradition of how things were in the 1800s and into the 1900s in the South, where like these families would basically just control everything, and everybody would be at their, you know, beck and call to do whatever they wanted them to do. And they got away literally with murder because nobody was in any position to stand up against them, you know? And so this guy, this family's done a few things. So first of all, he's convicted of killing his wife and son.
Horrifically.
Shot them. Apparently, this allegedly killed their longtime housekeeper, pushed her down a flight of stairs because she knew too much, killed a gay boy who's from that area because allegedly, but not really,
she knew too much to collect insurance money.
Yes. They pushed her down a flight of stairs. Then at the funeral service, he stepped to her sons and said, you know what? I want you there's two of them. I want you two to file a wrongful death suit against me, and I'll get you the money. They file a wrongful death suit, but then, of course, because, again, it's all controlled by all the same people, he puts them with a lawyer who was one of his best friends. I think he was a college roommate of his. The lawyer runs the case through. They get $4.3 million, and he puts all the money in his pocket. The kids didn't even know this shit happened. The kids didn't even know.
It had been paid out.
And then it turned out he'd
done it with a few other people where he had approached families to file to get some kind of recompense for wrongful deaths or injuries for their families. But they would, I think they would, whatever kind of payment broker they would go to, they were writing checks to the name of this company that they didn't realize was Murdaugh's company. Murdaugh was pocketing all the payouts
and keeping every dime. Also, his youngest son, who he killed, which is crazy to say, and this isn't even alleged, it was a young alcoholic and would get totally pissy drunk all the time. And so him and his friends were hanging out one night. They had a boat. They went in a boat. He crashed the boat into a bridge. Killed one of the girls in the boat, injured a bunch of
other
ones.
On the other boy in the boat.
And then when they went to the hospital, the grandfather and Alec Murdaugh get to the hospital before the police and basically say, we got this under control. And tell the cops, who, again, are at their beck and call, we got it. So they changed everybody. Oh, this is a disaster. They change everybody's story. They take from his son being the driver of the boat. They blame it on somebody else.
They try to blame it on the other boy that was in the boat. The boy's parents don't let them.
Yeah, yeah.
The boy's parents are like, wait a minute, actually.
Yeah.
That's not what happened. Because the Murdoch keeps trying to tell him, you don't really remember if you were driving or not, right? You're not sure who was driving, right? Like, they're trying. So it's a very insidious family and way of moving, but what it feels like happened is what by the privilege. Time they got down to this present Murdoch who got arrested, the amount of privilege that each subsequent generation was growing up with, somewhere in there they actually lost that balance of like actually handling the family business, the law, the actual penchant for the law, mm-hmm. how you move, what you do, and just got careless with the power and the money.
Yeah, because nobody's going to ever go up against us anyway, so we could say whatever we want to say. You know,
and the other thing that happened crazy about this story, the gay boy. So before you get to the gay boy, the other thing that happened crazy about this story is that the way I even first heard about it was that whoever Murdoch just got arrested, he himself had been found shot on the side of the road.
But they say now he shot himself.
Right, but that was how I remember. That's how I unfold the story, because they were like, the story's even wilder than this. This is how everything that happened. That was the coverage that brought me into the story, and this was years ago at this point. Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
And there was a kid named Stephen Smith. He went to school with the older son, Buster Murdoch,
who has disappeared,
and allegedly, Buster and Stephen Smith, who was openly gay, were having an affair. And so Stephen Smith's car broke down or ran out of gas, something on the side of the road. You know, it's back in the South. It's in the South. There's dark roads. There's no lights. So he apparently called Buster to help him. Buster shows up with a whole car of people, and they kill the kid because they were scared that he was going to let people know that Buster and he were gay. So it's just layer upon layer upon layer of fuckery. Like, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper and worse and worse. Did you follow this case?
It's giving white privilege. Because
it's gonna be a movie.
Would have stopped like 50 steps ago if it was one of us.
It's going to be a movie.
Also, if it was one of us, it wouldn't go generations deep. That's the thing, it's four generations deep.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a movie for
have
sure.
Have you been following it, Sean? I mean, we already got all these documentaries. Yeah. They're definitely going to make a movie out of it.
Yeah, no, I've been following it. There's a
how podcast. Far is this from your family?
Well, I know I just saw somebody over in Orangeburg, which is definitely not far.
Yeah, it's towards
from my folks. Because I remember going down south and we were like, oh, we got to go over to Orangeburg. We'll be right back. So it's definitely not that far. But it's a world away if you know what
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I've been following it. There's a great podcast that is very extensive on it. It is done by a woman who is a journalist by trade. Mm. So she is not a podcaster in that sense, right? So you're going to get very short bursts of podcasts. There's a lot of information. The information is in an abundance. And it's very nuanced because she's from the area, so she's able to give context.
Oh, she's from down there. Okay, okay.
Yes, no. It's a very, very good podcast. It is very, very long in terms of episodic length, but they're short. They're usually 30 minutes, 35 minutes. So it's a lot of information to retain. But I suggest going on and checking it out. I mean, you can just Google it. It's probably the first podcast that pops up.
And the thing about this story, I'm sorry, go ahead, Sean.
No, that was it.
I was going to say, the thing about this story, as Jeff was running down all the things the family has done, is that there's the story of the one Murdoch who is currently, just found guilty of murdering his son and his wife and all the shit that he did. But then secondary to that is the story of all the shit the family does.
Yes.
Which is completely unrelated to this, right? Mm-hmm. And just the stranglehold they've had in all these various areas of the town unchecked. Because, like, I forgot, honestly, until you brought it up, I forgot that the boat accident was the same fucking story. I was like, that was a whole nother doc. And I was like, no, that's the Murdochs too.
Yeah, that's the start of the unraveling.
I would be very interested to see who their insurer is. Because that is who they used for those payouts. So basically what they're doing is they're telling people, well, you file a wrongful death suit against me, then my liability coverage will kick in. Mm-hmm. Right. So you pay your deductible, right? Your liability coverage, they go in, you know, they do their investigation. So my question would really be, who's on that other end of these insurance companies? Mm-hmm. I'm very, very curious to see that because, you know, one accident with a $4-something million payout is one thing, but like several accidents. But my understanding,
Sean, I don't think all of them were filed against Murdoch companies. I think in some of them, they acted as the representation, kind of like the slip and fall lawyer, like a Celino and Barnes type situation.
Yes.
That the payouts came to them still.
Yes, but what I'm saying is,
the fact that everyone in the country knows who that is, it's fucking hilarious.
And now Barnes is gone. Right now, Celino
and something.
Yeah, Barnes.
It's going to forever be. You know, black people don't change shit. It's
Celino
and Barnes.
It's Celino and Barnes. I caught Ivy in the car the other day singing 800-580.
Empire. Yeah, but you want to see who the insurer is at.
I want to know who the insurance company is, because usually in particular regions, there are very few places. And, you know, I'll kind of discuss this a little bit with you guys in the group chat. Like when you have a specific type of business, there are very few insurers that insure you, you know, mm-hmm. especially at those magnitudes. Right. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of movement around so like, for example, if you go to an accountant, right, and your accountant says, hey, you know, call this insurance guy, like it's usually the same guy that they're recommending to every one of those mm-hmm. people, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a very incestuous world. So I'm very curious to see, if you really get to digging, what else is underneath, how these insurance companies have either profited.
I'm sure they profited crazy.
Or eaten the loss, or whatever the case might be, mm-hmm. and passed that off to others. So I'm interested in that part.
Yeah, so this is wild, because I'm sure there's going to be a follow-up documentary now that Alec has been convicted. This is just a very interesting case. It's like so many layers to it. I want to mention Lori Lightfoot. She done lost. Yeah.
Big dick Lori.
Big dick Lori. I told the bitch, look, bitch, you ain't never had no player like me.
I tell the bitch she on the right track, but she on the wrong train. She better come get with this pimping.
Bitch, shut up, bitch. You know what it says. Big Lori.
I ain't so talking Lori... fast. You just listen slow.
the fact that the election night, she came out of the liquor store with that case of Modelo.
Oh, my God.
It's just...
Like, Lori was like, I'm just going to get my freak on. I don't know what y'all about
jokes
to do.
Right yeah. Oh, Lori
is, it's still amazing to me that she won the mayorship, honestly, like being such a, I'm trying to say this politically.
Polarizing figure.
You polarizing figure. Exactly.
It's a different representation of what we're used to in politics.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm just going to say, I hope that Mayor Mixie is seeing some writing on the wall that they got Lori the fuck up out of here. Because it was a very similar thing when Lori got elected. I remember a lot of people were like, oh, that's great. You know, Chicago mm-hmm. first open mm-hmm. gay black woman mayor. Niggas were like, she's horrible. She's mm-hmm. fucking horrible. People said it from the door. It reminds me a lot of Eric, It's the Rock Adams. Mm-hmm. And I just hope.
I'm stunned Eric wasn't there last night.
Like her.
No, no, no.
Oh, you mean the daylight thing?
Yeah.
It's not.
He was
not
there. I bet he was there.
I bet you he had. He had to be.
I bet you. I bet what's in my pocket. That nigga was there.
Yeah. He probably got a call. Like, wait, Webster Hall, get in the car. We're going down now.
My favorite new rumor about him is him dating Kamora Lee Simmons,
which is because insane.
He ain't got that kind of paper
at all,
my nigga. At all.
Nowhere close.
Oh my nigga, like you are, like God bless, and clearly Eric makes a great living, right? Like he is not missing any meals.
Yeah,
but my nigga, you ain't got that. You don't even know. You don't know the nigga who you can call to find the nigga who can get the shit that she wants to get.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like you're several steps away
right.
from finding that concierge nigga. Right. So
and,
I.
Yeah. And the reason I don't believe to that point, the main reason I don't believe the rumor is because Eric still, with all his mayoral pull, still can't get into rooms Kimora can get into.
Mm-hmm.
Eric is likely, listen, they likely had lunch or something like that. Yeah, because at the end of the day, you know, obviously we're making jokes, right? But he is the mayor of New York City. There are like five mayors in the country that matter, okay? And New York is one of them.
Yeah,
he definitely is living out fantasies, though. He's definitely
if you can get the air
living out
of the New York City mayor, you do that. And there was probably some sort of trying to see if there were anything, you know, funds are available or what real estate things are happening or, you know, any sorts of businesses that can help or bring or bridge. That is very, very common. It's not obvious. I think it was right
around Fashion Week. I'm also pretty sure Eric Adams wasn't going to turn down lunch with Kamora Lee Simmons. Because
nobody's turning
down lunch with Kamora Lee Simmons. Come on.
That nigga not turning down lunch with nobody, nigga. If he could put it on the city tab. I know Brooklyn Chop House. I know that nigga done spent several thousand dollars
down to the Chop House. That motherfucker Don probably had to give this nigga a corner booth, like, just to always make
nigga
him
got his
like
own
he
room.
Got
that nigga probably got his own. Nigga
he about to have his own sandwich on the menu. Eric
would have been up in Chin Chin heavy back in the day. Like, for real.
Also, Eric, if you want to be on the podcast, just contact Jeff. Yeah,
exactly. Come through, nigga. We'll talk some shit, you know? Shit. But yeah, so, you know, Lori Lightfoot, she ain't going to be in Forbidden number two. And, you know, God bless. I know there's a black dude running and there's like a hardcore, like, white, you know, Chicago guy running. I don't know who win it, but peace to Lori. I'm sure she'll be all right. She'll be all right. She'll be all right.
Listen, none of them about to get back
to them girls on the track and get that shit straight.
Yeah. She ain't never missing no meals.
Exactly.
Okay. When you're the mayor of, like, again, Chicago is one of those cities.
Mm-hmm.
LA, one of those cities. Houston, one of those cities. When you're the mayor of cities that significant, you know, we're not talking about the mayor of like fucking Edison, New Jersey, who also has to still work.
Exactly.
Right. Like it's a part-time job. Like, you know what I'm saying? They calling this nigga job, you know what I'm saying? Asking him to approve shit. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like that.
Let me call you lunchtime.
I'll send you DocuSign in a minute. It ain't that.
I wanted to mention...
Are we going to mention Dion?
Yeah, I'm going to get to him. What's the...
Y'all talked about the Real Housewives?
No, I'm about to now.
The lawsuit? Oh, okay.
I'm about to now, yeah. So Real Housewives of Potomac is going out with their last episode of their reunion is Sunday, and they're going out with a total bang.
90 minutes
with that episode. And Michael Darby, who's back, was married to Ashley Darby, is suing Candace for Real Housewives for slander for $2 million.
I haven't watched
defamation.
Excuse me, because Candace
was the first one saying that Michael was staring at Juan.
Gay shit.
So the housewives can't sue each other. It's in the contract, right? But I mean, even if you're like a friend of or whatever, if you come on the show, you have to sign
right. You can't sue the cast.
And some embarrassing shit might happen. Right. Blah blah blah. Well, what's his face? Michael didn't film the past season.
Yeah, he wasn't on there.
So Candace saying things about him, she was like the only one that was really kind of going in on him with the rumors this season.
And since he wasn't a cast member and wasn't on the contract,
And Candace ain't got 2M laying around. I'm not saying she's fucked up, but 2M laying around is a lot of bread. So
I don't know that case goes anywhere because
I was about to say
stuff she was saying is kind of true.
Well, allegedly, because she was saying stuff about he has a boyfriend somewhere and maybe he does, but I don't think that's public. Yeah, but that's not, I don't think that's public knowledge.
The burden of proof falls on her.
Right.
She has to, you know what I'm saying? Like, he has the proof that she said these things, that she has to prove that they are actually true, which means that she's probably, and listen, I'm no lawyer. I'm talking shit here, as Jeff would say. I would have to assume that she would either have to get the person who she named to corroborate, yeah. or show absolute proof that this is something that he's been doing. And basically the suit is saying that, you know, these allegations have been defamatory for me. They've impacted me.
Well, I was going to ask, does he have to prove the impact that it's negatively actually impacted him financially?
Like he can, he can. And it would not shock me for one second that it was accurate, that it did impact him. And for him, $2 million, like, that's one or two deals, right? Like, that's not, I mean, he deals in a lot
that's
of
that's not the bulk of his money. Yeah.
No.
Did y'all hear about this? Saying. That he owns a lot of that disputed land that's in Somalia and other, like, impoverished countries.
They're saying he's the biggest landowner in Somalia.
I believe that.
Yeah, I believe it too. Like, his bread is crazy. And he also got Ashley bad because in the divorce, she basically got nothing. She got nothing.
The fact that she didn't come away with that, with at least that house paid for, tells me that she's an idiot.
Or that her prenup was ironclad.
Yeah,
I don't think it was that tight because they were both moving around crazy in that relationship. So
Allegedly,
because $2 million. Listen, I have like $28 that I can
so. I will be on the stand giving addresses for you niggas. I'm telling you right now.
Nah, he said.
I'm handing over all my electronics.
You give me that deposition, nigga.
I'm showing up.
On a serious note, what the lawyers are actually saying is that, you know, she was very clear and pointed with those particular statements because she knew that it was salacious and she knew almost like she was very clear on saying this what it meant.
Right.
Candace
is messy. She's a messy bitch. She really is.
She hasn't said anything worse than the other cast members, though. I think she just said it at the wrong time.
She does because she says very clearly that you're paying to go suck a dick, right? Like, that's basically what she said. Like, you as a married man was out here leaving your wife to go solicit a male prostitute, right, and have sexual relationships. All of which are crimes, you know, to some degree,
right?
In Virginia, right? So, like, that's ultimately what he's saying. Like, you are accusing me of unlawful acts, and clearly, this is a stretch, and clearly, this is not just about money, but also what they're saying is like, you had the opportunity. I guess he reached out to say, you need to make a retraction. And she didn't make the retraction.
Oh.
She didn't make the apology. She stood on it. So that either somebody didn't get the mail, maybe old boy said, if it comes to it, I'll go in and testify that this is accurate. And then, you know, we'll kind of see what happens. But yeah, I mean, people have done a lot worse for a lot less, I promise you. Pay off this debt I got on to the house, you know, get my mama into a better hospital and niggas get on
get me out of this 2004 Corolla.
You know what I'm saying?
God damn.
I mean, listen, the problem here, and this is the last thing I'll say, the problem here is that when these lawsuits come, you have to defend yourself.
Yeah.
That is the cost.
You can't let it ride.
The cost is you don't have a choice. You actually have to defend yourself because, as you can see with cases like The Game and other people, that whole, I'm just going to ignore this and not show up, doesn't quite work out the way you think it is.
Yeah. Also, I saw that, on the last episode, the last reunion episode, Mia jumped out the window and accused Wendy of having sex with Peter.
And Peter got on live and
said,
was
what,
like,
the fuck?
You are bugging. I met Wendy once for five minutes.
Then Mia released a retraction.
of the day.
Well, yeah, because then I think everybody thought it was true.
And also, I think it was because of all this shit with Cannon. She was like,
because in Peter's live, he says, stop fucking talking about me. I'm telling you to cease and desist right now.
Yep.
And I saw people, like I saw the husband come on and say, and listen, I don't make any bone. I know Peter, like I, you know what I'm saying? I've eaten at his establishments and all of that sort of shit. I think all of us kind of know Peter to some degree. But like when an old nigga like Peter.
Yeah, because Peter wasn't just but Peter wasn't just talking about the legal stop fucking talking
about. Here's what he was saying too, because he was saying I don't mess with them women, and Mia's husband took it as him saying he don't know them or anything like that.
Yeah,
and
that's
not what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
For an old head like that, messing with is equivalent to saying you're having a sexual relationship with.
Yeah.
So he was saying like those are, and he was really saying like those are stand up women. Like how fucking dare you? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. like put that on like, their
Wendy's
name
a
like
good
that.
Woman, you know?
Yeah, she's
like,
married.
Yeah. Nothing but yeah. So why would you even do something like that? And it was all based on like again a little snippet of. Peter is in the entertainment business. Like, I know people got jokes and all of that sort of shit, but yes, they
Peter been in the game long before.
They entertain. Yeah, they have people come into the restaurants. He entertains them. He makes sure that they're comfortable. Mm-hmm. They might get some shit that ain't on the menu. They might, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is what he does, bro. So
yeah.
Him with a clip, like that shit is nothing, man.
Yeah.
And Peter, and I know y'all think that he's like, you know, messy, and y'all call him the extra housewife and all of that other shit. And it's like, nigga, Peter been around cameras. Like, none of that shit is moving
to
me.
It's not new to him, yeah. So
I do want to say, while we're on Real Housewives of Potomac, I need Robin Dixon to be gone. Giselle is boring. I'm over her fully. Boring. That I appreciate the attempt that Andy made at having the colorism conversation, but I don't think this is the group of women that you have that conversation with, because it was disappointing to watch Giselle and Robin and even Ashley act like, what are you talking about?
They called me mean before.
Y'all are raising brown children.
Yeah, I stopped watching when Giselle made the accusation about Chris.
Yeah.
That was wow early. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was super. Yeah, that to me just as a man and kind of like understanding the context in which he responded, you know, like it just made me uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
that's
like
much on par with who we know Giselle is, though.
Yeah, and that to me was just like, and you know, that to me was just like, okay, I'm good. Like this has gone down a path that is like not really entertaining for me anymore, like in any way at all. And I don't even get to see my nigga Ray no more.
Yeah, Ray
is like. Ray low key.
Ray probably be kicking them niggas out of the house.
Yeah, Ray.
Even at Karen's little parties and stuff, Ray is chilling to the side.
Yeah.
He's not talking to any of the other dudes, which I totally get.
He ain't fucking with that shit.
This whole Juan is going to keep cheating on Robin. I'm sure they have some kind of arrangement that they're not mentioning.
At this point,
this nigga doing your laundry in a laundromat.
Come on,
with
bro.
One person
so
of the opposite sex.
Though. How is Robin
very
not
intimate?
I'd be so
and weird. I'm over them as a franchise. It's really,
they gotta rejig it.
I do appreciate Candace and her arc because I could not fucking stand her in the beginning.
Yeah,
but now she is the one that I'm rooting for. That seems to be the one that's most genuine, that has shit that's going on outside of the group. Like
I think they have to rejig the franchise because it's messy.
Yeah, it needs
a little shake up. Right, I think she needs to be off the show.
Yeah,
I think we created Housewives in the beginning to look at this side of life that we don't really get to see, like the extreme wealth of like Orange County and Beverly Hills.
He created Housewives to be a reality version of Desperate Housewives.
I could see that. But like, yeah. if we at this point where like y'all ain't really married,
y'all really ain't got no husbands. It's, y'all if just I'm watching, living in area.
Y'all just making up lives about each other.
Yeah, like you just making up lives for TV.
It's not fun.
You ain't nobody's housewife. Now everybody's an entrepreneur. You ain't even a housewife. Yeah. Like, this is,
but and I also think that the thing that draws us to the housewives is that there are like real friendships on some of them.
Right. Yeah.
I just don't see that in Potomac.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, nah, they don't. Nah,
of,
only Robin.
They always
and Giselle.
Felt kind of like
Robin and Giselle.
Frenemies, with the exception
they're
of
their only friends.
But Robin and Giselle, they all felt like frenemies, literally from the door. Because who is the? Because remember the one who was the main one in the beginning.
Sharice.
Yeah, she's
they all know like
friends. Yo, Sharice be drunk on that show, allegedly.
Yeah allegedly.
She
allegedly.
Shows up
and it's different.
Yeah.
God she was like I told you I went to Morgan. I went to college with her. She wasn't like that back then. But real quick, this last I see the Married to the Medicines is about to come back. And
they shook it up.
And they really shook it up because Dr. Greg is back on the show with his new wife.
I'm so excited.
I'm like,
that's
whoa,
the mess I'm here for.
That's ill.
I'm tuning in.
The husbands on that show are why we watch anyway. We know that.
Yeah. She's apparently dope. She was in the military. Cecil. She's a own businesswoman. So she's like a thorough girl. I think she does makeup.
I might know her. Let's see what she is.
Yeah. Check out.
Yeah, I'm definitely all in on Married to the Medicine.
Really. Married to the Medicine. Cecil and them.
Cecil and Jean. Cecil and Jean and them.
You know what I'm saying? I wanted to wrap up talking about, when I mentioned Tim Norman, my sweetie pies, who was convicted of murdering, again, this is crazy, murdering his cousin.
His nephew, for $50K.
Oh, it's his nephew. You're right. His nephew.
$450K,
which still ain't shit.
Yeah.
$450K that he had to split with the person who connected him to the shooter and all this other, like, basically for nothing.
Oh, God.
Poor Miss Robbie, man. I mean, to know your son killed your grandson, like.
That's so awful.
And ran that business into the ground.
Destroyed that own show. He destroyed the show, tried to expand too fast. He was doing too much. He just, poor Miss Robbie.
His high ass.
Yeah, so he's in jail for life. And I hope Miss Robbie.
Never trust a nigga with wide hip.
Wide hip ass.
Fuck this wide hip. Listen, niggas with childbirth and hips are no good. They mean no good to the world ever.
And what was
they got their cell phone
the
on a real
first,
high
The first girlfriend, the one he has a child with, the special needs child with. What's her name? I can't remember.
I didn't watch the show.
I never
like,
watched Sweetie Pie.
Yeah. So, God, you
yeah,
know.
I didn't watch. God bless him.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, Miss Robbie is.
She's been through a lot, man. Jesus Christ.
And I know he one of them niggas that he ain't never going to let up. He going to drive that woman. Yeah. As long as she pick up the phone, he going to be hell on her, man.
He going to be calling her.
It's going to be mama, I need.
Mama, I need. Can you send? Yeah. Mama, can you do?
Like we
mama,
always talk about. He's one of the niggas that just can't be in society with the rest of us. So.
Yeah, can't get right. I wanted to wrap this up with, again, with Deion Sanders. So,
Deion Sanders,
he did a couple things this week that are very, I'll say, controversial. So he did an interview, and he was talking about what he looks for in the different players on his team.
Oh, yeah, that was last week, actually.
Oh, last week, yeah. So he said for quarterback, he looks for somebody from a two-parent household, high GPA, was raised right, so on and so on. For linemen, defensive and offensive linemen, he said they could have a 1.5 GPA. He looks for them to have come from a single-parent household. And just, it was, I mean, and I know coaches talk like this.
I think we talked about this, because I think Sean was bringing up different.
Now, we talked about it on the chat, but we didn't talk about it on the show.
Oh, okay.
And the thing about it is, like, I know coaches talk like this, but to hear a black man talk like this and disparage other black kids was
exactly.
just
and lightly, like he was saying it very, he
yeah,
was
yeah, he was serious,
out offhandedly, yeah,
he was dead serious. The second thing is, he had another meeting with the press in Boulder, Colorado, and he said that he wants to get the band to
No, that's not what happened. He had a meeting with the band staff.
Oh, I thought it was the press. Okay.
Dude, he was meeting with the motherfucking band and dance staff.
And said he wants them to get HBCU type of energy.
Well, what would they do at HBCUs is because he wants something that's like the J-State dancers.
It's not going to happen, bro.
And the fucking, and he wants the band to be more like, here's the thing. Ultimately, what he's trying to do is bring all the elements that make an HBCU game to Colorado. The reason he can't do that is not only because Colorado is not University of Colorado is not an HBCU, but because you are in fucking Colorado.
Exactly. Which
has a 2% black population, is one of the whitest fucking states in America. You are in Boulder, my nigga. There's not really a whiter city on the planet than Boulder.
Nobody coming to see that band.
Maybe
nobody.
Salt Lake. The only whiter city in America than Boulder, Colorado might be Salt Lake City, Utah. No matter how much you bus in, how many tapes you watch, how many clinics you give, you cannot get that culture to stick there. It doesn't belong there. There is not enough blackness in the state to make it
definitely
work.
Not.
You can't do it. It is not at water and stir, my nigga. And the fact that you shit it on the HBCUs as you left for this lily white ass shit.
And now you want, now you want to
bring
that.
This. Now you want to go back and get the seeds, try to bring the seasonings in, which you can't. You can't do it. It's not going to work. And also, like, even if you could do it, they're not going to let you, my nigga. You're not even at a Southern PWI. You in Colorado.
Yep.
Like, it's just there's a lack of awareness there. It's hilarious to me, and I'm outraged at the same time. But I'm also, it's funny to me because I'm like, this nigga sitting up in here telling these good white people that he wants some motherfucking J-State steppers. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got, like, talking about, like, I'm imagining them going back and watching them tapes, being like, this nigga must be on crack.
Yeah.
Like, we gonna bring that to, this is a school where their mascot is an actual live buffalo. They go running around this nigga.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
What are
yep.
you talking about?
I don't know. I don't know what. I don't know what.
The fuck are you talking about?
I don't know what. I don't know what Deion is trying to do here, but I know it's not going to work. It's definitely not going to work in Colorado. And I don't know. I don't know what. I don't know what he. I mean, maybe because they went after him and everything. Maybe he thinks he has that level of carte blanche where he can kind of just do whatever he wants.
How long is the contract again?
I think it's 5 years.
You think he's going to make it them five?
No, I don't. No,
they
don't
fired their last three coaches like midseason. I don't think I don't think any of their last three coaches have made it more than two seasons.
Yeah. He's definitely not going to make it.
But it's like, honestly, it's embarrassing. Like, you gave HBCUs your ass to kiss when chasing after these white people. And now all of a sudden you realize, like, oh, this is not live. Right? And you think it's as simple as.
Yeah.
Getting a dance team together, and so
because he went to school at Florida State.
Right.
And what is across the road from Florida State?
FAMU.
There you go. Bingo, my nigga. Bingo. So even on top of the fact that you went to a state school in Florida, you were also up the road from a fucking HBCU. Mm-hmm. And you know what that energy is. And listen, I know. And I said this, like, I know a jive ass nigga when I see one. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he is one of them fast talking, double speaking jive ass niggas. And the reality is you want something that you ain't going to get. No, nigga, you thought you wanted to go there where there wasn't no crime and the snow was lily white. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the air smelled so fresh.
You wanted to be one way. And
that's exactly why I tweeted.
Way,
he nigga. Wanted it
it's
to be one way, but it's the other way.
Like, nigga, some days I want delicious food. that means, nigga, I might have to go and take my watch off, and I might only need to carry enough cash.
Exactly. That's what it means, nigga.
It means I got to keep the car running. I got to tell Mona. Listen, nigga, when I get out, you get in the driver's seat.
Right.
Just in case.
Because you know where you're going to be. But like I said, there's a lack of awareness here that speaks to multiple things. First, the fact that, as we talked about before, this nigga ain't never lived outside the South, period. Yeah. So it's not, like I said, it's not only the fact that you are at a white school, it is the fact that you are in a white place, like, period, right? Like, you ain't in Florida, you ain't in Texas, yeah. You ain't in none of them. Nigga, you are in Colorado, right?
I can testify, it's white than a motherfucker out here.
Exactly. You are in a white place. So even if the band director and the majorette director were inclined to listen to you, which I promise they're not. Promise they're not. They want to know, the band director wants to know why this nigga is sitting here telling his John Philip Sousa trained ass what his band should play right now, right?
They're not going to be playing the new Drake
even if
song,
they
bro.
Were they ain't playing September, nigga. Yeah, even if they were inclined to listen to him, it's not going to work. But also, you are so far outside your purview. Nigga, run them plays while they still let you. And, like, that shit ain't got nothing to do with you. Like, this ain't Jay State. Jay State let you do shit, a whole bunch of shit.
I also think, too, yes, I'm glad you said that, because I think that what he has been spoiled to the fact that he is Deion Sanders. And because he has been able to jump over a very specific process, like, he doesn't really have any regard for protocol. And protocol, in fairness, protocol doesn't apply to him. Mm-hmm. That is how it's worked for his entire life. That's so good. He's totally blind to that and doesn't really understand what that's going to look like as he goes into an institution where he's going to need allies, because that's really how this is going to work. Right. Like, you know, so we'll see how this plays out. I'm really kind of over him.
Me too.
And I'm just kind of a little and I think this is partly what I was talking about on the group chat the other day, just about being a little exhausted with the content. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just, like, everything is content. There's so much content. It's like an inundated state of niggas talking about shit that is just like,
everybody got an opinion.
Like, when are you actually doing the shit that you're talking about if all you're ever doing is talking about the shit?
Yeah. Oh, so, and everybody got an opinion, and everybody got a think piece, and everybody got a little
and listen, all you got to do, nigga, is stay low and build. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't know if he has back end deals. Maybe he does. Maybe he's trying to, you know, get some talent. You know, use these sorts of techniques to maybe recruit talent, because that's the other thing. Like, yeah, you know, them kids ain't. They ain't hurting for that. They ain't hurting for black girls at SC.
Nope.
Right.
Right. They ain't hurting for black girls when they go to the SEC schools.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They just not. It's just that simple.
They're not. There's plenty. Listen, we are plentiful. If we're not on the campus, we're in the area.
Yeah. That's my point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I wish him well in the upcoming seasons, because I think he's going to have way worse.
I don't wish him well at all. I'm about to watch just to be entertained. This shit is so, like, that meeting, that clip of Deion in that meeting, starting the meeting with, well, you know, HBCUs, but they do it to a bunch of Colorado faculty and staff, is sketch comedy level hilarity.
They didn't want to hear none of that shit.
About to watch all this shit unfold.
They didn't want to hear none of that shit.
He is, hopefully, the thing about a person like Deion is that you never know, even when humble pie is served, you never know if they're actually going to taste it.
No, he's not. He's not. Yeah. He's not going to taste it. It's going to be everyone else's fault.
Yeah, but exactly. You're pointing the finger at everybody else.
It's going to be a bunch of different things. And when all else fails, it's a lesson from God. Right, because nothing is more compelling to niggas than a lesson from God, and that's all you gotta say is, you know, God didn't really want me to be here. That's what this is telling me.
Yeah,
right. No, nigga,
God was telling me to move where I can put my God given gifts to better use. He was telling me I need to be. Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
I'm mad you're right.
It's coming.
It's coming. So yeah. But we're going to wrap it up on that note.
I just want to say happy birthday to my mama, who turned 69 on Sunday.
Happy birthday, Miss Norma.
Happy birthday, mama. Hey, happy birthday.
Who just got her second her cataract surgery done in her second eye, who so
okay.
her birthday.
Okay.
Brand new fresh vision, don't need no glasses no more.
Oh, you're
telling me how bright everything
is. I can see.
Did she go to Jeff's eye doctor?
No.
I can see now. I can see.
He's talking about we went to the museum. The colors were so vibrant. Because my mother's been wearing glasses since I think she was in middle school, maybe.
Oh,
so,
wow. Yeah. Yeah. Well, happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to her. I'm looking forward to seeing her this summer.
Give me some LASIK surgery. I just want to say, go outside, y'all. Get some sunshine.
Touch some grass.
Mm-hmm.
It's important mm-hmm. for your health.
It is.
Basically what I was told the other day.
Yeah.
Go outside and touch
Have
some grass.
Have you been in the sun?
You old
Troy said he
nigga.
Was tired of basically everybody.
It makes a difference. It does.
So I was like, I'm tired of people.
It makes a big difference for the black melanin. It makes a big difference.
You need the D.
You need your vitamin D. Don't be like me.
Mm-hmm.
You need
we're gonna wrap it up. We see y'all next week.
Later.
Bye.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast.